You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Right out of Leavenworth, Melissa Etheridge.
She has a sign.
She does have a sign in Leavenworth, Sam. Thank you for reminding me.
And water is good for many ailments.
That is correct.
Cramping in the middle of the night, maybe early morning, like, I don't know, 3 a.m. Would you say it was 3:15?
By the way, do you know how many times I've seen her sip out of that cup?
Once.
Yep. Zero.
Once.
Oh.
You're not staying hydrated.
Yes,
By the way, before the show, Scott, you mentioned that when she comes back anywhere near Kansas City, we have to go see her.
We're going, yeah.
She did just announce a new tour.
Oh.
Is she coming here?
When?
The closest venue is West Virginia.
What?
Yeah.
West Virginia?
How far would you be willing to travel get some 80s nostalgia
Further than I would go to see a Kmart. Cannot believe people are traveling 1,300 miles to go see the last Kmart.
They don't have a life.
It's probably true.
Do you think over the loudspeaker it says, attention, Kmart shopper?
Shopper?
We're closing.
Seriously.
Please leave.
If you're driving from Michigan to Long Island, New York, to go to a Kmart, you have no life. No. That is a fact.
I think there are people out there that are hobbyists and interested in the history of all this stuff and roadside Americana.
Yes.
And our shopping practices of the past 100 years that would be interested in going to something like this.
That is false.
I don't know. And the other thing is, if you missed the story in the last hour, these are sisters that grew up together in the 80s shopping at Kmart. And so I do understand the nostalgia there. If you're going with your sister and this was your thing growing up.
Attention, Kmart.
That was your thing, going to Kmart?
Well, I mean, not everyone grew up in a bustling metropolis, Scott. They probably grew up in a smaller town, and that was, you know.
Hey, we had a Kmart in Leavenworth back in the day. It's now a Home Depot. But I couldn't care less about Kmart. I mean, like, let's say Target was, I probably shopped at Target more times than I ever shopped at Kmart.
Oh, sure.
Let's say Target started going out of business. And
well,
the last
would be frozen over.
Well, that's right. And the last one, the last Target around was the Target over here in Mission right next to the radio station. If it was closing on Sunday, I'm still not going, even though it's across the parking lot.
It is a different era, but be careful what you say, Sam. He just said, and I quote, hell would freeze over before the Targets would close. Okay. What do you think they said about Kmart in the 80s?
And Sears.
And Sears.
What do you think they said about Walgreens today?
And JCPenney's. I mean, I think we are entering an era. I don't think the Targets are all going to close. I'm not saying that. But, you know.
And Blockbuster.
From the 1980s to the 2000s, or I would even say the 1990s, Kmart went from on every corner, sold everything to everybody, to completely irrelevant.
That's a fact.
And Rain Man may have had something to do with that. But you know, secret, Raymond, Kmart sucks. It's one of the funniest lines in Rain Man. You remember he would only buy his boxer shorts at Kmart?
Are you blaming the movie Rain Man from 1989?
It didn't help.
For the downfall of Kmart?
I'm going to look it up. It didn't help.
From the text line, come on, Scott. It's like dressing up like a Kiss character and playing on a stage. It's for nostalgia.
Even back in the day, 80s and 90s, Kmart had a stigma.
If you Google what caused the downfall of Kmart, you will get results, and that movie
is listed.
Yes.
The line, Kmart sucks, from
yes.
Rain Man.
That's some incredible power
Kmart,
for
listen
that
to
one
this.
Line.
Kmart sales were notably impacted from that catchphrase.
Kmart sucks.
The image was widely lampooned, reaching its nadir in the movie Rain Man, where Tom Cruise famously sneered, Kmart sucks. Quote, Kmart had a big image problem. That might not be too serious in another industry, but it is death in retail firm. When Tom Cruise's character in Rain Man brashly stated, Kmart sucks, it was a seminal moment for that company, the beginning of the end. Boom.
Wow.
And what really killed Kmart was Walmart and Target.
Was Target even around in the 80s?
Oh, yeah. Not as ubiquitous as it became, but yeah.
I don't remember Target back in the 80s.
It was exciting when a new one was being
built.
Remember
Venture?
Venture.
Oh, I loved me some Venture.
Well, the Walmart in Roland Park used to be a Venture store.
Also, JCPenney's and Kohl's are still massive companies. They just don't really do well in the big box store. They're more online.
I cannot remember the last time I saw JCPenney's.
I think it's more online.
Yeah, that's what Sam was just saying.
I mean, remember those catalogs? Oh, my God.
Oh, those catalogs were awesome.
Do you know how much money they must have spent printing and mailing? Those catalogs were larger than a phone book.
Yes, they were.
And my favorite thing in the world, along with yours, I'm sure, was to go through and circle the toys.
The toys that you wanted for Christmas.
By page. Yep. By
oh,
page.
I love those catalogs.
They would send those catalogs out right before Christmas.
But also remember, this was pre-internet.
Oh, sure.
Pre-everything internet.
You would circle what you wanted.
It
you
was
know,
the only
all
thing
this
available.
Stuff. Oh, my gosh.
I did the same
catalogs.
Thing in the early thousands.
Did you really?
Thousands.
With a
JCPenney catalog. It's exactly how I picked out my Christmas gifts.
Oh, sweet Sam.
Joel Damon is in danger of losing his PGA Tour card.
No!
Yep. After he was penalized 4 shots at the Shriners Children's Open on Thursday for having too many clubs in his bag.
He can only have 14.
Wait, why would he did the right thing. Sorry, I'm stepping on the story.
It doesn't matter.
It was a mistake that could prove decisive for a player who is already on the bubble. Damon currently sits at number 124 with the top 125 at the end of the fall circuit, able to retain their tour status for 2025.
Okay, so they're referencing that because of the hit that he took, having to dock himself 4 strokes, that's why he could get booted out, not because of a violation of the rule.
It's one stroke for every hole that you have the extra clubs.
Per extra club. Yes.
Who counted them? I mean, that's honestly, I hate to say this, that's his caddy's mistake.
Clearly no one.
What does it matter?
It does.
Who cares?
Here's why it matters. For anyone, even if you don't follow golf, most people now know who Joel Damon is. No one knew who he was until they started Full Swing on Netflix. It is hands down the funniest, most beloved watched episode because his caddy is someone that he knew from like 7th grade who just reached out and said, hey, do you have a caddy? I'll be your caddy. And they go, okay. And they've been friends now for like 30 years. He is a fun, goofy, floppy bucket hat wearing the guy everyone is cheering for, but you also want to have a beer with, which I think may be part of his issue. He doesn't practice. He's got a little bit of John Daly in him, right? Where his caddy's always saying, look, like we're grinding out here and he's got to make money for me to make money. And he doesn't take it as seriously as he should.
But what does it matter how many clubs you carry around?
It's a hard and fast rule,
but it is 14.
All right,
That's what I'm asking. What does it matter?
Why does it matter?
Because it just is the rule, Scott. In any tournament, if I'm in a tournament next weekend and I have an additional club, I thought it was disqualification, but apparently it's one stroke per hole.
Well, actually, it's 2 strokes per hole, but you can't get more than a 4-stroke penalty in one round.
You could have I'm going to speak out of turn here because I don't know the degrees of wedges, but you could have 2 45 wedges that the face hits different, and that would be 2 of your clubs. These guys would have like 75 clubs and their faces would
correct.
All hit differently if they could. So they had to draw a line somewhere and they decided on 14.
The reason this makes me sad is because if you go back and watch Full Swing, he is everybody's favorite. He will write on Twitter, hey, I'm going to be in North Carolina this weekend. Hit me up. Does anyone have room for a foursome for me to join? Like, he's just this fun,
everyday kind of guy
that if you could pick one guy in the world of golf, except like Tom Watson, of course, that you would want to just go have a beer with, it is 1,000% Joel Damon. But I think that showcased the fact he doesn't take it seriously enough for as good as he is. Everybody else is out there grinding, going
to
the gym.
Is he like John Daly?
A little.
Like a young John Daly?
A little.
Now, who's the other guy that gets accused of cheating all the time?
Patrick Reed.
So this is not a Patrick Reed situation because the second that he realized that he had an extra club, he pulled it from the bag, took it to the official, and turned himself in.
Why would you do that?
Because he's such a good guy, and that's what you're supposed to do.
And if you wait it out and you get to the 9th hole, and then they happen to notice, oh, that guy's got 15 clubs, that's probably a DQ.
Anyway, that makes me sad, and I know he's on the bubble, but no one is going to be surprised. And maybe if he gets kicked back down, think double A, he'll work harder and come back better. And I hope that he does.
913-586-7798. Dan Weinbaum, Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Don't forget, we've got Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, and it is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com. Story here from Reuters. One of Amazon's top executives defended the new, and this next word I don't necessarily agree with, but new, controversial, five-day per week in-office policy, saying those who do not support it can leave for another company. Bye-bye. Speaking at an all-hands meeting for AWS, CEO Matt Garman said 9 out of 10 workers that he has spoken with support the new policy, which takes effect in January. Those who do not wish to comply can quit, he said. If there are people who just don't work well in that environment and don't want to, that's okay. There are other companies around, end quote. Quoting again, when we want to really, really innovate on interesting products, I have not seen an ability for us to do that when we're not in person. The policy, be in the office 5 days per week, what we used to call the typical work week in America, has upset many of Amazon's employees who say it wastes time with commuting and the benefits of working from the office are not supported by independent data. Amazon has been enforcing a 3-day in-office policy. But CEO Andy Jassy said last month the retailer would move to 5 days to invent, collaborate, and be connected. If you don't like it, Amazon says, go find another place to work.
I'm surprised it took this long.
What is wrong with expecting your employees to be in the office?
Once we learned as a collective that in some cases it works just fine to work remote, there are an entire section of people in America in an entire group of industry, all over industry, that don't want to go back. I've talked to people before who will say, if they made me come back, I wouldn't do it. I'm not. I'll retire.
Why?
I don't know, because but you and I work in a weird space, Scott, where
a socially intimate setting. I mean, we have to be together to collaborate.
Fair point. I mean, I work off of your physical and facial expressions and movements. I need to be around the two of you so that I can, you know,
100%.
Where, you know,
react accordingly.
We have hand signals that we use that obviously listeners don't see or know about. And no, it's not middle fingers.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's middle fingers. But, you know, if Dana's wanting to get in and Sam's talking, I'll point to Danny when I know that Sam is done, or, you know, Sam will say, make a hand motion like we've got to go to break or whatever. I can't do that if we're on Zoom.
Now,
we tried it for about 4 months during COVID.
It was a dumpster fire.
It was a disaster.
Yes, it was. And thank you both for recognizing that. I understand the push to want to stay at home, obviously, with the lack of spending money on gas, the lack of spending money on that Starbucks that you pick up on the way in. I get all of those urges. The fact that you can do laundry while you have a meeting going on.
Yeah.
However, if your company says, hey, it's time to come back to the office, they pay you.
Mm-hmm.
Show up or stop expecting to get paid.
Amen. Amen.
I will step off my soapbox.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the three of us are in agreement on this.
Now, I will say, if you are in some sort of customer service telemarketing capacity, I don't know that you physically have to go in to do that. If you are to take so many calls a day, or you are the one answering the phone for complaints for, like, let's say corporate Travelocity or something, do all of those workers need to physically be sitting at a desk to take that phone call? I would say probably not. There are certain jobs for which I don't know that it's critical you go into work.
Well, here's one. If you're a data processor, basically you just take forms and you type into the system, you know, whatever. I'm not convinced you have to be in the office for that. But I am thrilled, because I was growing concerned with this. Everybody working from, not everybody, I'm painting with a broad brush, but a lot of workers working from home, that we were going to lose in this country a lot of our brick and mortar buildings, office buildings, and everything would just sit vacant. I love that companies are now realizing we need people in the office. There is a benefit to having people working with other people that they see every day, not doing laundry, taking a nap, going for a walk, whatever.
I hate to say it, but this is an incredibly entitled white collar thought process. Not a single person on a job site working construction ever even considered the possibility of having to work from home. It's pretty hard to build a building behind a computer.
Or a surgeon, although I will say telehealth is becoming more and more prevalent. I understand the need for it, especially in more rural communities.
Sure.
I still like physically going in to see the doctor if I have something going on.
Now, would these same employees who are saying that they don't want to spend money on gas be willing to take a, 15% pay cut because they're not enduring those expenses by working from home?
But why would the company have to cut their pay to not come in?
Because they're not spending money on gas to go to work.
Well, but...
And they want them to come in. And in theory,
but why should the company get that savings? I don't think that savings belongs to the company.
Why should people who are making the effort to go to work in an office have to pay the extra amount of money that it takes to gas up your car every week? Would be the counterargument.
I don't get a smoke break because I don't smoke. You know what I'm saying?
Are companies required to give you smoke breaks anymore?
I don't believe they're required.
I think there is some requirement that you get a break, unless you're in radio and you have to use the restroom because everyone around you is going, drink more water.
Are we still on that?
Drink more water.
The horse is dead.
We're telling you to drink more water, but that's because you came out of the gate today saying you woke up in the middle of the night with chronic pain in your legs.
It hurt, not gonna lie.
And we were just reminding you that if you were hydrated, that probably, now we're no doctors, but that probably wouldn't happen. Somebody says, I couldn't disagree with you guys more. Then call in. Take us to task.
They can't. They're working from home.
They're not. If they're at home, they're not working.
The phones are. Why would you throw that turd bomb out on a Friday?
913-586-7798. 586-7798. We're talking about this story from Reuters where one of Amazon's top executives is defending the new 5-day per week in-office policy, telling Amazon workers who don't want to come back for 5 days per week in office, go find yourself another job. Lou in Blue Springs. Lou, hello. Welcome.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to say I do think that people should have to go into work. I think it's healthy for our country. I think there's social things that go along with that. And I do think that people should go in to work. But I just wanted to tell you, you know, you're talking about if, they're not going into work and they're spending money they're not spending money on gas. But you have to look at it another way as well, as far as the companies. They're not spending money on the necessities such as, say, toilet paper, soap, water, electricity. So, you know, that part of it, I think that I can't even imagine how much these companies are saving on stuff like that. I know my daughter worked from home for 2 years, and they didn't give them a raise because they said, you know, you're not having to spend gas money. Well, I also know that they weren't having to spend all those big dollars on things that they needed as well.
No, that's actually a fair point.
Did I lose you?
No, I said that's actually a fair point.
I do think there's an enormous social aspect to going into the office, and especially for young people coming out of high school or coming out of college, learning to navigate in an office setting all of the different personalities that you run into. Mm-hmm. Whereas in high school and college, maybe you are just insulated with your friend group, right? You get into a corporate setting, or honestly, forget corporate. You work at a restaurant. Think of all of the different personalities you have to learn to navigate and what a great skill set that is that you can't buy that skill set somewhere.
The social experts out there have keyed on an epidemic of sorts when it comes to in-person communication, and it's that people refuse to make eye contact. That probably has something to do with the fact that in their day-to-day lives, they never make eye contact with any strangers.
Yeah. Phil in Kansas City, good afternoon.
Hey, how are we doing today?
We're doing well, thank you.
So I'm blue collar. It doesn't really affect me, but my dad has been remote for over 10 years now. And he does product support for a large document management company. And they are actually buying a building simply to make them come back in for 2 to 3 days a week. How is that affordable to the company?
Well, I don't know what how much money that company profits per year. I mean, it's not as affordable as it was, say, last year necessarily.
And that's silly, Phil. I agree with what he's saying. If his dad is doing product support, so the person who answers the phone when you are calling and you say, look, I just bought a Theragun and it's not working. What do I do? And there's always someone on the other line to say, well, have you tried this? Well, let me talk about this.
Put batteries in it.
All of those things. Yeah. Why do you have to physically be in an office for product support? And the answer is you don't.
Where did Theragun come from?
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
Did you just get one?
Oh, no. I've had one for years.
Oh, okay.
It started in the NFL. That's what they used on. Who was the player that it launched 1,000 billion views on social? And then I think people in other sports were like, oh, what's that?
Have you ever noticed with a Theragun, whoever is doing it on your back, if it goes too long, you start to itch?
Yes.
I have noticed that.
Yeah.
There's a very, very high setting and a very, very not quite as high setting. And then have you ever used the cone on it? I mean,
Why is there such a dramatic difference between level 2 and level 3?
Thank you, Sam. It's like da 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 da.
1 and 2 is not enough. And 3 is like, why is my heart shaking?
So you need like a 2.5.
Yeah.
Have you ever done it on the bottom of your feet?
I have not.
Oh my gosh. It's the best thing on the bottom of your feet.
Why does it itch after it's been on your
back
for
too long? Because you're agitating your skin.
Yeah, you're activating the nerves.
It's like, for those of you who've never heard of it, it's a jackhammer. It is a jackhammer. Mm-hmm. It is a handheld jackhammer.
For massage purposes.
For your, right here on the shoulders. I use that thing, multiple times a week.
Now, a couple of years ago, back to the topic, there was a company that put out a return to work order, and it was right after everybody went home. And this specific company was the one that was profiting off of everyone working from home. The company is Zoom. One of their headquarters is on College between Lamar and Metcalf. I drive by it every single day.
The irony that Zoom wanted people back in the office.
Right.
Every day when I drive by it, the parking lot is full. Every single spot has a car in it. Every employee is at the office.
That joke writes itself.
Judy in St. Joe. Hello.
Hey, hi, how are you guys today?
We're doing really well. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So I have been remote since 2020. Our company was in Peoria. So we went remote when, of course, COVID hit. The office closed. In fact, they sold the building. So they not only that, then they end up getting some. They end up getting remote in the Philippines, also getting people in Puerto Rico. But the biggest factor is that we've all still remained friends. I was able to move from Illinois to Missouri. Still with my job. I've been with them for years. So I was able to move a year later with their approval. And it's been the greatest thing to be able to move anywhere I want and still remotely work and still keep in contact with them. My bosses, we're on Messenger, we're all that. And so it's never been a problem. If we ever did get an office again, If they bought one over here in Missouri, I'm like, yeah, I'd go if they asked me to. But we're never going to go to an office again. Wow. It's going to remain remote for so many reasons. And I think that actually saved us because they were already laying people off, already having issues. Mm. And so when they went remote and they actually sold the office building, I think that basically saved us as a company.
Judy, I've heard people who work from home or work remotely make the argument that they get more work done remotely than they ever would in an office. Since your company is in Peoria, I think you said, clearly your boss is not listening. So be honest. Do you actually get more work done remotely than you would if you were in the office?
I absolutely do, because here's the thing. Why would you call in sick? There's absolutely no reason to call in sick from home unless you can't talk.
True, but But if I was working from home, I would be doing laundry. I would go outside.
Well, Scott, you would watch TV. You're not disciplined.
Well, I know that.
So because you're not disciplined, you could never work remotely. Because when we first went remote, I can't tell you how many people they fired for the simple reason of calling in, doing this. There's no excuse to call in from home unless you're dying or you can't talk.
Okay. And by the way, Judy, you hurt my feelings.
You are not disciplined, Scott.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
Jeremy in Olathe. Jeremy, hello.
Hey, guys. So I'm landscaper Jeremy from Western Shawnee, a dog Cooper incident earlier this year. I worked in corporate America for 10 years, and when we went remote in COVID, it was the worst 3 months of my life. I went back to the office. I was the only one there. It was great. What I found was that when I went to go work for a fully remote company, those places had the most toxic cultures because people didn't know each other, especially if a lot of the hires were made after COVID. Those organizations were so toxic because no one knew each other, and it was the most catty, volatile places I'd ever worked. And it led to basically what was a mental breakdown. And that's why I left corporate America and went back to digging holes for a living, because I was like, I just can't. The salary's not worth it. And I think that Amazon's policy of get back to the office, when the people at one of my companies came back after COVID, the culture was still there because we all knew each other. And then when I flew out to Napa for a corporate event at this previous company right before I went back to landscaping, it was the most awkward corporate event ever because no one knew each other.
There was no trust fall.
There was no trust. I've listened to you whine and complain, and I've never seen a positive thing out of you. I've never seen your, you know, emotions, your body language. And, you know, it was just this terrible thing. Hell, my boss was the most toxic person I've ever worked for. When I met her, I was so shocked to see that she was 5'1", when in my head, she looked like Ursula from Little Mermaid. And it was just like, holy crap, you're this monstrously mean personality, but you're such a little person. And it just, everyone was just so shocked to see other people. And it was like, this is not a healthy place to be in. So I completely agree. Go back to the office. I mean, they're paying the rent on those spaces, millions of dollars a year. Yeah. Go. It's better for your mental health to be around people.
Oh, that last sentence that just came out of your mouth, Jeremy, I agree with that 100%.
We are animals based in community.
Yep.
By the way, you pointed out the irony that Zoom put a return to work order. Somebody on the text line pointed out it's ironic that the company who profits off of people shopping from home put in a return to work order.
Yeah, but not nearly as ironic as Zoom.
Yeah.
I mean, Zoom came, I'm sure they existed before the pandemic, but I had never even heard of Zoom until the pandemic.
They need to be in person to innovate the ideas for not being in person.
When we get back, a new take on an old scam, and the Lenexa Police Department just posted this on Twitter. I'm more worried about people our age a little bit, Scott, but more people Sam's age when it comes to how people are trying to get you to send them money. And I'm going to give you a little hint. It's it has to do with adult things.
Oh, hello.
And Sam, I just retweeted what Officer Chavez just put out. We're just going to play it for our audience when we get back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 913. 586-7798. Reminder, tomorrow we are doing the 4th annual Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament. All the proceeds go to benefit the KC Pet Project, and we do still have a couple of spots available for teams. If you'd like to register your team for tomorrow, it's at Serve, 91st and Metcalf in Overland Park. Just go to KMBZ.com.
When we get back, is it true that Al Roker gave Snoop Dogg some weather report duties on the morning show? I think that it is. I'm seeing this online.
Yes, the stories that I saw about it said it was, quote, hilarious.
Okay.
We're going to talk about it when we come back, Scott. I'm telling you, I can't hear it in here, but I'm watching it. He's only pointing out cities like Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
We've got to play that when we come back. But first, we have a warning from our friends at the Lenexa Police Department. All of you people out there taking photos on your phone that you should not have on your phone, this is for you.
A new scam is making its way around the country, including right here in Lenexa. Here's what you need to know. Victims are receiving emails that address them by name and includes personal info such as their phone number and even a photo of their home. These photos are actually taken from a public website, not in person. The scammers are going to claim that they've hacked your phone or computer camera and they have compromising photos or videos of you and/or your search history. They demand a ransom payment, threatening to leak this information online. They'll often ask for payment by QR code or a Bitcoin ATM where you feed cash into the machine. Here's what you need to know to protect yourself. 1. Never send compromising images to anyone. 2. Don't open unknown attachments or scan suspicious QR codes. 3. Cover your webcam when not in use. Stay safe and remember to trust your instincts. If you've paid a scammer, we encourage you to file a police report as soon as possible.
Well, that's not very nice.
They have your phone number. They have a photo of you that they probably pulled off of Facebook. And they say, hey, we have hacked in. We have your photos.
Exactly are you searching that you're so worried about a scammer getting a hold of your search history that you're willing to not only pay them money, but go out of your way to acquire Bitcoin to then pay them money?
Anytime someone asks me for Bitcoin, the answer is no. I don't know what it is, where to get it, and I just assume you are a scammer. Someone asked me for a Zelle the other day, and I go, no, blocked.
Now, I feel like it should be a red flag if you report that you were scammed by this, because they need to look into your search history, they being the police department, again,
right.
If you were willing to pay so that that wouldn't be released.
You know, the police are going to be like, well, what did you have in there? But it could be something.
Porn.
Or something of financial embarrassment. It could be.
It would have to be worse than that.
I don't know.
I mean, or you're looking up an ex-girlfriend and you're now married or something.
There's one. I wonder what percentage of people say they have sent a compromising photo, and I bet it is a shocking number of people in America. I bet it's like 90%, and I'm in the 10, baby. I am in the 10.
I got no shame. Share that photo.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I wouldn't have taken it if I wasn't proud.
Is that mood lighting in the background?
Yes, it is. Festivus Friday comes your way right after the 5 o'clock news. Dan Weinbaum has the news coming up in 2 minutes here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.